እጄ አቶ ዶዶ ጀሱ
You are the rock that I have stood upon from the very beginning. I thank you for everything that you have done. I thank you for your overwhelming love. I thank you for the steadfastness of that love. Thank you, Lord, for all the good times. Thank you, Lord, for all the difficult times. Thank you, Lord, because you have always been there. Thank you, Lord, because you have stood firm. And we have had the courage to keep going. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. Father, this morning, as I stand before your people, thank you, Lord, because you will say that which you want to say. You will do that which you need to do in this house, in the name of Jesus. You know what your children need to hear. You know what your children need for the next phase of their lives. Thank you, Lord, because you will speak to them this morning. Thank you, Lord, because I also will be the first partaker of what you do this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever you are doing in the house this morning, I commit to be a participant. I commit to be at the forefront in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We say that all the glory, all the adoration, all the honor belongs to you. For every good gift that we have, Lord, we acknowledge you. We return all the glory unto you. We say there is none like you. There's no one else that we can depend upon. Lord, we just give you praise. Our hearts are full of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, accept our praises and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It's lovely to see you all. The Lord has been incredibly faithful. Incredibly faithful. I cannot find the words to describe what the Lord has done, where the Lord has taken us through, how the Lord has been good. But I can tell you that indeed is faithful and is dependable. He's the solid rock upon whom we have stood and we have not been ashamed. He's incredibly faithful. This morning I will be talking about the prayer of Jabez. I will be reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 4.
First Chronicles 4 from verse 9, the Bible says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil so that I may not cause pain. The Bible records that so God granted him what he requested. This morning, I would be talking about three lessons from the prayer of Jabez. There is a popular book that a certain preacher has written. His name is Bruce Wilkinson. And basically, he encourages people to pray the prayer of Jabez every week. So there's a plan to get into where for each day of the week, you are praying the prayer of Jabez. And the whole intent of all of that is to end up at a place where your life is completely free of pain. And you're incredibly blessed by the Lord. And several people have commented on that and said, how can a Christian be praying against pain? And how can a Christian, if you tell people that you can have a life that's completely free of pain, that in itself will be a fallacy. And then people would either get all of these blessings and not have pain and assume that this is God's plan for the Christian. And then the first time that they meet a challenge, it will be the downfall of them because they have not built strength, they have not developed themselves. Or people will just not have those things and feel like everyone is getting it. Why am I not getting it? Why am I different? Everyone is so blessed. Why am I not as blessed as these people? This morning, what can we learn from the prayer of Jabez? The Bible records that the Lord indeed answered his prayer and took away his pain. Three things. There were two prayers that Jabez prayed. The first one was that the Lord would bless him and enlarge his territory. So, Lord, bless me and enlarge my territory. And this morning, by the grace of God, I will be talking about what it means for a Christian to be blessed. If you say to the Lord, bless me, enlarge my territory, what would you be looking for? What would you be trusting God for? And what should you expect? What's likely to happen? The second thing that he said was, Lord, free me from evil and ensure that I am free from pain. You know, and then I will be talking also about the Christian and pain and suffering. What should you know? How should you understand? There are certain things that if you don't understand, the enemy will trick you. When you get into a difficult situation, the enemy will tell you, well, you know, this Christianity is not working. And there's some people who are forsaking the faith just because they had a trial. So as a Christian, it's crucial that you understand pain and suffering. What it means, what the Bible says about it, is so crucial. The third thing I'm going to talk about, like a bonus point, is what does the Bible mean when it says that Jabez is more honorable than his brothers? What do you think that the Bible was trying to say? What was it that was honorable about Jabez? I believe the Lord will help us to go through these three points today. I left home to go and start a course in England, and I left on Christmas Day 2019. When I was going out, my husband and I talked about it. We had agreed between us. We felt convinced that this was God's plan for our lives. We felt convinced that this was the next phase, this was the next step for me as an individual, for us as a family. I think it was January that COVID started in China and then began to grow really large. And it seemed like this is the one year when you should not have left home to do anything. From that point till today, we have continued to trust in God's plan.
and his presence has remained. And his presence has made a difference in many different ways, more than I can say. There are times when people have contacted me from church and we're sharing, and I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. And it's a difficult time. But it is amazing how much courage you can have, even in the most difficult of times, when you are fully convinced that you are in God's will for your life. As a Christian, really, that's all you need to do. At every point, when you take any step, the Bible says, if your presence does not go with me, I will not go. This has always been my resolve as a Christian. I am not bold enough to take one step. There's a woman on Facebook that said, all these Christian brothers we have been marrying, they haven't really paid us. We're not so happy. Things are not working out. I said, well, what you are seeming to suggest is that the young people in church can start marrying unbelievers now. And someone like me and the pure conscience that I have towards God's word, no matter how challenging my marriage has been, to a Christian, I will never advise anyone to do something that is not written black and white in God's word. Because when you become the devil's daughter-in-law, your life will not be easy. And anything that you do outside of God's plan for your life will be incredibly difficult. You will think that you've had pain, you've had suffering, but everything will take on a new dimension. My daughter said to me, she said, Mommy, you know why this is difficult for you? Because you, the kind of person you are, all you need in your life are your children and your husband. If they take away everything else that you have and just leave your children and your husband, you'll be okay. So the not being with the family alone is a difficulty. The long separation alone is a difficulty. But the Lord has made incredible strength available for every step of the way. Sometimes it's surprising. It's completely mind-blowing what the Lord has done. But we thank God for everything. We thank God for what he's done. So what does it mean for a Christian to be blessed? And if you ask God to bless you, what would you be looking for? Before I talk about what it means to be blessed, I will tell you what it does not mean to be blessed. What Christian blessedness is not. That's where I'm going to start from this morning. Christian blessedness is not tangible. It's not material. It's not something that you can see with your five senses. It's not something that you can perceive with your five senses. It's not something that you can see, something that you can touch. No. And I'll tell you what I mean. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, a feast is made for laughter, wine is for making someone merry, but money answers all things. And there's some people that have taken that to mean that money is the solution to every problem. I'm going to tell you that personally, I believe that this is one of such situations where the accurate meaning has been lost in the process of translation. So it starts off by saying a feast is for laughter. It's talking about purposes. What is the purpose of a feast? You're not going to see someone through a party and you ask him, what's this party for? And the person says, I don't know. I'm just throwing a party. There is a purpose for a feast. And it's to bring laughter, so that you can have fun with your friends. Then it says the purpose of wine is to make people merry. It just make people happy. The purpose of money is for providing solutions and for fixing problems. Now, the way it is written, it sounds like it's saying the purpose of money is for fixing every single problem. In primary school, they said money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. So they start early to teach this really strong and important concepts. Because if you go forward and you don't understand them, your life will be difficult.
They said money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you good health. And if you are older than 10 years old, you have probably seen that money is not the answer to every problem. Sometimes you can have your pockets loaded with money and have that money unable to provide solutions. Immediately it becomes clear to you that money doesn't answer every single thing in this world. In 2002, we were preparing to get married. I'd gone to make my wedding dress with a certain designer in Lagos who came highly recommended. She had made my sister's wedding dress a few years prior, and she delivered the wedding dress to me 2 weeks before the wedding. We went up to Lagos, we picked up the wedding dress, and it was dirty. And my first reaction was to say, oh, I can wash this at home. But if you have ever washed a pair of canvas shoes before without taking appropriate guidance, the Bible says in the midst of counselors there is safety. If you didn't ask for direction and you took your pair of canvas shoes and you washed it yourself, then you probably know that washing is not just washing. Because I have made that mistake. I just took my pair of lovely, wonderful canvas shoes. They were new. I'd worn them the first time, and I wanted them to be as sparkling as ever. So I took them and washed them. And once you finish washing them, and you set them by the side of a wall to dry, you just see the water start tracking. And you basically form a map on top of your shoes. Brown, dirty water. Something that you just washed, the water was clean. Brown, dirty water starts tracking and marks your shoes in a very funny way. So yes, we knew we couldn't wash this wedding dress. So we went around Ibadan. We're carrying wedding dress everywhere. And everyone said, yes, we can wash the dress, but we need 4 weeks to do it. And we couldn't find a dry cleaner in Ibadan who could wash the wedding dress in less than 4 weeks. We had money to pay, but our money could not provide a solution. Our money failed. Finally, we found a dry cleaner in Lagos who said, if you pay $16,000 in 2002, I will wash your wedding dress. So we took the wedding dress to Lagos. We got it washed. We went back and picked it up. I'm saying, the problems that money cannot solve. Why is it important for you to understand that there are, you know, and many times as Christians, we're trusting God for a blessing. This happens to me all the time. I find myself wanting to trust God for the money first instead of trusting God for what I need. And these are some of the things that can happen to you if you are too focused on money. Because if you're trusting God for a car, God can give you money for the car, but God can give you the car. So you need to have an understanding of all of these things. Even though they seem like small things, they're things that will be a problem for you if you don't get it. To believe that money is the solution to every problem, that is materialism. And what a materialistic person does is that a materialistic person believes that material possessions and physical comfort are of more value than spiritual values. What it is that you're prioritizing, and to all of us, all of these things are important, but to you, money would always come first. If you are choosing friends, it's whoever can give you the most expensive presents. It's not who can teach you wisdom. And wisdom is more valuable to you than whatever present anyone can give you. If you are choosing a life partner, you tell yourself, unless the man ends up to a certain amount, I'm not going to marry him. What you've done is that you have exclusion criteria that takes out all the good people. Because now you have said this is the salary that he must earn. And it doesn't matter what values the person has. It doesn't matter if a person is born again, is God-fearing, is loving the Lord, is passionate about Christ. All of those things pale in comparison because you care about money. Materialism is what the Bible describes as the love of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, meaning there's nothing at all that the love of money cannot lead you to do. The love of money, the love of power, will lead people to do just about anything. People start doing crazy things just because of the love of money. So you need to sort that out. That's in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. So when you think about a blessed man, what comes to your mind? For many people, when they think about a blessed man, they think of riches. Oh, he's so blessed. He just bought a car. Oh, he's so blessed. They have a house now. He's so blessed. They have this. He's so blessed. They have that. When I think of a blessed man, I think of someone who has a vibrant and fruitful relationship with the Lord. That always is the first for me. When I say someone is really blessed, I am encouraged by the person's relationship with Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, it's always obvious. No matter how much you put on the cloak of spirituality, we can see through it. You'll be saying all the wrong things because the things that you say in public depend on the preparation that you did when you were in your closet. So if you don't have that closet experience, it's always so obvious. You'll be making a fool of yourself. So I think of a vibrant and fruitful relationship with the Lord. I think of a happy marriage. If a person is of marriageable age, the person is married and the marriage is working. The person has a peaceful marriage. I think of children who are saved and are obedient. I think of a successful career. And I say, this man is blessed. But the Lord has been dealing with me a lot about blessedness lately. When I came back yesterday, as my flight touched down, I said to the Lord, I feel incredibly blessed. And the Lord said, you still don't get it, do you? You are not blessed because, you know, so now the plane just touched down. I knew that in 1 hour, I would have my babies in my arms and I would be hugging them for the first time in almost a year. Then I felt blessed. And the Lord said to me, whether you see them or you don't see them, you're blessed. Blessedness is a perpetual state that you have. Because of the fact that I saved you, because of the relationship that you have with me, you're just blessed. And this is regardless of what you're going through, regardless of whether you see your children, regardless of, you're just blessed, period. And I said, oh, okay. But I am feeling the blessed now. So as human beings, we keep making that mistake of considering ourselves to be blessed when we see the blessing. The Bible says that the words that we see are framed by the word of God. When that process is going on, you won't see anything yet. But that process is in motion, and that person is already blessed. I have an uncle. He got the best results in WAEC and got a scholarship. He was sent to Russia to go and study medicine. He met this young lady who had also gotten the best result in whatever equivalent of WAEC was in Uganda and had been sent to Russia on the same type of scholarship to study medicine. And they met the Lord. By the leading of the Lord, they believed that they were meant for each other. They were supposed to pursue life together. They married while they were in Russia. And when they finished their medical training and they were going back home, they waited upon the Lord. They had a retreat. And the Lord told them to go back to Uganda. And in Nigeria, if you're specializing, you're a medical doctor, you're specializing in any field, you will be paid a salary. In Uganda, when you're specializing, it will be taken as you are doing a master's, and you will be paying tuition.
So you would not have a salary. You would have to do another job to get paid. And then you would have to pay to become specialized. I was paid a salary to become specialized in pathology. So humanly speaking, it didn't make sense at all to go back to Uganda. One day, they had many difficult times, even though they felt convinced that they were walking the path of the will of God for their lives. There were times when they couldn't feed. But when the breakthrough came, then someone like me, the faithless, said, oh, God indeed sent them to Uganda. Because if God didn't send them to Uganda, they would not be as successful as they are now. Follow me. When they became blessed was the first day they landed in Uganda. It's taken me some time to finally get this. You know, I think for the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks, God has been trying to put this message together. But sometimes your human will stands in the way and makes it impossible. But as I landed yesterday and I began to feel blessed, that's when God told me that you're just blessed. Your blessedness is not about finally seeing your children. Because they were on the path fulfilling God's will for their lives, they were blessed. You and I did not see it until we started saying they were successful. In Genesis 39, verse 2, the Bible says concerning Joseph, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful, even in the house of Potiphar, his master. Successful servant. God was taking him through a process. On the first step of that process, he was blessed. On the last step, when you start seeing the blessings, it's not any more blessed than on the first step. So I finally got to yesterday afternoon. I finally came to understand that blessedness is not something that's dependent on something that I see or something that I can touch. Blessedness is something that I just have because of what God is doing with me and where God is taking me to. No matter how tough it is, I am still blessed so long as I keep walking in the path of God's will for my life. In Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, the Bible says that the man said, oh, my land has brought forth a lot of fruits. I am so blessed. He was feeling blessed because now there was something to see. And he said, oh, I know what I will do. I'm going to break down the bands and expand them and make them bigger and make room for more because now I have a lot of fruit to store. And the Lord said, this very night, your life will be required of you. Immediately, you're like, what's going on? What's the fault of a rich fool? What has he done wrong? This is too much. This punishment is severe. How did he come to deserve this? The main mistake that he made was that he failed to realize that what he has now, what he has tomorrow, is absolutely out of his control. You can't make it happen. There's no business strategy. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, the Bible says you should remember the Lord your God, for he's the one who empowers you to get wealth. What the rich fool didn't do was that he didn't acknowledge that he had no power to make the wealth happen. Or to make the wealth continue to grow. We just don't know how to do this. So blessedness is not anything tangible. It's not wealth. It's not anything that you can contact. It's not anything that you can touch. Once you are on the path, fulfilling God's will for your life, it doesn't matter
what you have or you don't have. When we started, when we got married, we were living in Ibadan. I remember speaking to a friend of mine, and she said, "Who settles in Ibadan? You know, Lagos is where all the jobs are. Lagos is where all the opportunities are." So a young person who wants to start work and settles in Ibadan already comes across as someone who is not making the right choices for his life. Remember what we're talking about. I talked about my uncle and how going to Uganda was the worst decision that they could have made, humanly speaking. There were some who said to us, "You mean you are not going to live abroad? Because the ones before us in my husband's family had only barely just managed to serve and then left immediately. So when we said we felt convinced that we were supposed to be here, we were going to do ministry here, it didn't seem like a very good decision. But once we decided to do that, knowing that this was God's will for our lives, we had no fear that we would reach a point where we would not have the good things of life. We were blessed. Whatever we had or didn't have, we were blessed. We just were enjoying fellowship with the Lord, enjoying loving the Lord, enjoying serving the Lord. We felt convinced that the Lord was and still is our exceeding great reward, and we kept walking that path. And we felt blessed before we had anything. As a Christian, these are things that you just need to have down and completely understand. In Jeremiah 17, from verse 7, I'll wait for you to open to it. The Bible says, if you found it, say amen. Only one person. Okay, I'll wait a minute. I'll wait a second, a few seconds. Jeremiah 17 from verse 7, the Bible says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." The song I started with this morning, it says, "My faith is built upon Christ the rock. I will trust in nothing else. I will trust in nothing else except Christ the rock, because all other ground is sinking sand." It's the only one who is dependable. So Jeremiah 17 from verse 7, the Bible says, "But blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Verse 8, "He is like a tree planted by the rivers that sends out its roots towards the stream." That means there will be a supply. "It does not fear when the heat comes." There's no assurance that the man who trusts in the Lord will not face difficult circumstances. The heat will come. But look how it's different from the man who doesn't trust in the Lord. The Bible says it does not fear when, now it's describing the tree. The tree doesn't fear when the heat comes, and its leaves are always green. No matter how difficult it is, we have always stayed on top. We will always be triumphant because we are the blessed of the Lord. Constant. In the good times, we're blessed. In the difficult times, we're blessed. This is our understanding. And it just doesn't matter. We have courage. And sometimes we are astounded by the courage that we have. We're like, "Yeah, this my courage. Where am I getting it from?" But the Bible says you are like that tree that's planted by the streams of water. It says it does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves are always green in all situations. It does not worry in a year of drought. So there will be drought. But it's not anxious in the year of drought.
Nor does it cease to produce fruit. You know, one of the things about blessedness is great fruitfulness in the difficult times. To talk about the lessons you learned, the things that the Lord did, even in the most difficult of times, that is such a blessing. And you as a Christian, you need to understand that. So for the Christian, it's not the absence of difficult circumstances at all. It is fruitfulness in the difficult circumstances. It's a knowing. Blessedness is a knowing. God is working with me today. When it looks like the times are good, God is here working with me. When it looks like the times are hard, God is here. He's still working with me. And you can face the future with patient hope, knowing that no matter what you go through, there's no shaking. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, and we know and we are convinced that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. As somebody said, you will always have the last laugh. This is the thing about when you go through difficult situations. Always have the last laugh. It says if you are going through that situation and you are not laughing yet, we have not reached the end. That's what it means. It says, and all things work together for our good. At the very end, you will be laughing. At the very end, you will be triumphant. So when you are going through and you are not laughing yet, it's still a developing story. It's evolving. Because at the end, you will be laughing. Because you are the blessed of the Lord. Isaiah 43, the Bible says, when you pass through the fire, it will not be kindled upon you. When you pass through the waters, there's no guarantee that you will not pass through the fire. There is no promise to the Christian that you will not pass through the waters. It says, when you pass through the waters, it will not overflow you. You are passing through. And your end is that place of rejoicing. Until we are rejoicing, it's not over. Until we win, it's not over. Before we win, after we win, we are the blessed of the Lord. And that's what God has been trying to teach me this for maybe 3 weeks. And when I said yesterday, oh, I feel so blessed. Maximum 1 hour, I'll be in my husband's arms. Maximum 1 hour, I will be hugging my babies. The Lord said, you are not blessed because you are about to hug your babies. You're just blessed. Constant. Blessedness is what we are. Irrespective of what we go through, irrespective of what we see, we're not moved by what we see, we're not moved by what we hear, we're not afraid of bad news, because we know in whom we have believed and in whom we have trusted. One of the things that I find that the enemy does is that when I'm going through something, the enemy always tries to convince me that it's the most difficult situation I've had in my life. I still don't completely understand what purpose it serves. But the enemy will try and convince me that maybe if he tells me that this is really big, then you feel overwhelmed. And say, I've not seen this kind of thing before. How will I deal with this? This is too big. Lamentations 3, the Bible says, these are the things I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Then I will begin to remind myself of more difficult times. I will name them to the devil's shame. That remember when I went through this, 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 and this,
the Lord came through. I'm just passing through. Because I'm the blessed of the Lord, I will always just be passing through. And the end there is great rejoicing because I'm the blessed of the Lord. It doesn't matter what I go through. It doesn't matter what I face. I'm not moved by what I see. Because I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I trust. When I was trusting God for a child, we waited several years before I became pregnant for the first time. And the enemy was really disturbing me. The enemy was just really, really disturbing me. And the whole point of the enemy disturbing you is so that you can become anxious. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, from verse 6, the Bible says that Anna had a rival. There were two wives that Elkanah had. And Anna didn't have children. So this lady would just be talking about children all the time, knowing that it would make her feel bad and sad. The Bible says that our rival provoked her to fret. So it was clear what she was trying to do. I'm just provoking you so that you can fret and be anxious. Hey, this baby that I have, this baby that I don't have. And then it becomes a focus in your life. It becomes a problem. So we were waiting upon the Lord for the fruit of the womb. And I was really anxious. I think maybe it was in the second year that my husband dreamt a dream of the night and conducted naming ceremony for our son. And then it became settled that we were going to have a child. When my father-in-law was at the end of his life, he was in the hospital, and I was nursing him. And he said to me, "Oh, you are so kind. You are one daughter like many daughters. Your children will bless you and support you." I didn't have one child. He died in 2003. He said, "Your own children will carry you in your time of need." I didn't have one child. When my husband dreamt and he named his child, my husband became fully convinced that he was blessed with a child. So I was now alone in that journey. I was looking for the child all by myself because my husband had a child already. Then one day, I used to be so anxious about it. There was one Saturday morning, I woke up. We still lived in Ibadan. And there was this news report on TV, and they found a baby by the side of a river, by the side of Ogunpa River in Ibadan. And they were just reporting it, random news story. And I started shedding tears. I started really sobbing, crying inconsolably. And my husband said, "Is it your baby that they threw away?" I said, "Well, we have kept ourselves. I married you as a virgin. How can I be looking for the fruit of the womb?" It's just sad that this can be happening at this time. But when the enemy stopped disturbing me, I said to the Lord one morning, I made a consecration. I said to the Lord, I said, "If the flower doesn't blossom and the fruit doesn't bud, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Regardless of whether I have a child or I don't have a child, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you the same." I stepped into my blessedness and became deserving of a child. And that's what you need to do as a Christian. Just affirm your blessedness in spite of whatever you're going through. A few months ago, I was praying, trusting God for my son to gain height. Many years ago, so if you are going to be older, grow taller than your if a younger person is going to grow taller than the older person, it should happen later in life. But our daughter grew up very quickly and became taller than our son. And every time I spoke to them, when they come on holidays, I would say to my son, are you taller than her now? News report, give me an update. Are you taller than Fifeo now? And he would say, Mommy, I've gained a lot of height. I've really grown taller. But this girl, she's also grown much taller. I'm still not as tall as she is. And a few years ago, we went up to go and see one of my cousins who had grown up with us, my very first cousin. We shared the same surname. So when we came out of seeing him, my younger brother said to me, oh, wow, he's so brief. And I said, exactly what I was thinking. We used to look up to him back in the day. We didn't know he was such a small man. And my brother said, well, it was because we were shorter than him. That's why we thought he was so tall. So I was confronted by evidence that maybe my family has genes for shortness. And I said to myself, this boy, the person that needs the height, he has collected our genes for shortness. And my husband said, no. You know, women, girls have a growth spot ahead of boys. My son will grow as tall as her and he will catch up. If it causes you to fret or to worry, then it should cause you to pray. Did you hear what I said? If you ever take thought about it, then it's something to pray about. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. So I began to pray about my son's height. And my husband used to make fun of us. You know, because he didn't get it. I'm supposed to know better because I'm a medical doctor, in his view. And he was not concerned at all. But that's him. You are not worried. Don't pray. But I am worried and I began to pray. And the day when the Lord was going to do it, I came back to my phone and I found several missed calls. And my son said, Mommy, where have you been? I have big news for you. And I said, what's going on? He said, I'm taller than Fife. I'm finally taller than her. And I started rolling on the floor. Oh, you call me, oh. And my husband was like, look at these people. These people are not serious at all. It's our testimony. I knew that it was going to happen, but I didn't know because of medical knowledge. I knew before I saw it. And I said to Fifeanya, I said, please come and stand beside him. Come and prove to me that now he's taller than you. He said, sorry, Mommy. You know, now is not a good time. I'll tell you what used to happen. Before, once I start saying, for welcome, are you taller than Fifeanya now? She just gets up. We don't have to say, come and stand there. She just volunteers her presence. And she goes and she situates herself right beside him to prove to me that he's still not as tall as me. God is bringing a miracle your way. When it happens for you, your enemy will go into hiding. The people who are provoking you so that you can fret, the people who are provoking you so that you can be anxious, you won't say a word to them. But it will be the end of discussion. They will run into hiding. You won't see them again. On this occasion, I said, can you come and stand? He said, sorry, Mommy. They can't stand because the Lord has beautified you. Rise to your feet this morning. And talk to God about your blessedness. Say, Lord, in spite of what I see, regardless of what I see, I am the blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed because of what Christ did on the Calvary. I'm blessed because when you went away, you left your Holy Spirit here to dwell on the inside of us. I'm blessed because you walk with me daily. I'm blessed because you minister to me. I'm blessed because I have comfort in the scriptures. I'm blessed because I have all these things that money cannot buy.
Thank you, Lord, because indeed I will live and relive my blessedness daily. I will access my blessedness daily in spite of whatever I'm going through. I will be triumphant. I will be on top in spite of whatever I go through. Concerning me, concerning us, the enemy is defeated. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. You lead us in triumph always. And whatever we see, we will not be moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we see. We're not like the carnal man who waits until they see the tangible blessing to know of a blessing. Thank you, Lord, because we're blessed regardless of what you're doing. We're going to joy in the God of our salvation. We're going to rejoice in spite of whatever we're going through. Thank you, Lord, because we have the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the path that you are taking us through. We know indeed that once we have set our feet on this path, indeed we will reach the end. And when we reach the end, we will be laughing. And because we know that whatever we go through, we're just passing through. It's a phase that we're just passing through. And at our end is great rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, for patient hope. Thank you, Lord, for comfort in the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for depending on you completely as we go through the difficult times. Thank you, Lord, because indeed we can feel blessed in every situation. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we are prayed.